Welcome, everybody, to episode 291 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 11, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Jay Tripp, who somehow found his way back. Did you use Google Maps, Apple Maps, GPS? How'd you find your way back to the show?
Apple Maps has gotten pretty good. So, and now that we all have Do Not Disturb While Driving in iOS 11, then I safely found my way back, thanks to Apple Maps and the inability to use my phone while driving.
And by the way, it's not a paid endorsement. This was not a commercial for Apple Maps, just for anyone out there listening. So where were you last week? Is it not our business?
Oh, it's everybody's business. I like that you sound all calm and like pensive. You sound so relaxed, and usually you're all excited, and now this week you're calmed down. It's nice. It's like a different. It's like a fireside chat.
It's one of the 50 shades of Jeffro.
Oh, wow. That's, again, the time until John is uncomfortable is getting lower and lower. No, last week I was helping some friends at an expo here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I was on site helping them with a booth that they had going on with some not WordPress related things, but on a project that they were kind enough to let me help out with, which is how I learned React from the outside of the WordPress ecosystem. And it was nice. It was a lot of fun. It was a huge dairy agricultural farm expo that, you know, when we think WordCamps of 2,000 people are huge, this is an expo that happens at the Alliant Energy Center that has about 70,000 attendees. So it was, they have everything from just expos and booths and vendors to cow auctions that have cows that go for $100,000. It's an interesting other side of technology where they do a lot of genetic testing and you know, things that have nothing to do with WordPress, but still technologically interesting. So I helped them out with their booth, and I'm happy to be back in WordPress land this week.
So I don't know if you listened to last week's show, but I had Brad Williams on from Web Dev Studios. He was my co-host, and he did a good job. And sure. We talked a lot about various things going on in the WordPress space, and as you said, you know, if you disappear a few more times, friends of the show usually become co-hosts. So, I think Brad, Brad's been on. He's an alumni. He's a WordPress Weekly alumni. In fact, he was on episode one, so he's already in one of those coveted spots for candidate to be a co-host.
And your prize or punishment for that such notoriety is getting to come back multiple times.
Heyo! All right, so we have quite a few things to get to today. A lot of things happening within the WordPress realm. Of course, what's new? Another week of Gutenberg stuff we'll get into. First off, WordPress 4.9 Beta 1 was released last Thursday. I think it was last Thursday. Let's see. I'll just confirm my suspicions. Yes, see? Right off the top of my head. And 4.9 is actually a major release. Now, while WordPress 4.8 focused on, it gave us a couple more widgets, link boundaries, and a couple other improvements, 4.9 has a heavy emphasis on site customization and file editing. So I actually gave 4.9 beta a try. I'm still tinkering around with it, but there are a few features in here that are pretty cool, and I think a lot of users are going to find helpful. The first couple of features are around the customizer. You're able to now, in WordPress 4.9, you'll be able to draft and schedule changes in the customizer, which is pretty neat. So when you open up the customizer, you'll see a little gear icon next to the publish button, and it'll open up a sidebar, and there'll be three options where you can save as a draft, schedule, or publish. And another cool feature is that when you save a draft, a link will be created with the change set that you could send to people, and they could see a front-end preview of the site without having the actual changes, without having to make the changes go live. So it's a pretty neat way of let's say you're designing a site for a client and you don't want to give them access to the WordPress backend, but you want them to see the changes that you're making, you could just send them this preview link and they'll see it exactly as it would be as if the changes were live. That's pretty cool feature right there. And have you messed around with those features yet?
It's awesome. It's super timely too, because we're working on the redesign for BuddyPress and bbpress.org, and part of that redesign is I want to try to use as much of like built-in native WordPress functionality as we can. And that's really hard to do using the customizer when you're not publishing it on a live site in every version of WordPress up until what is now 4.9. So once 4.9 is out in the wild, suddenly all of our all of the pains go away and we're able to start staging some of the redesigns there, which is kind of awesome. So I've played with it quite a bit and watched it mature as it's gone in to beta. So it's actually like incredibly polished and finished for it being a beta feature. I'm not sure what more little tweaks that anyone has planned for it, but it's incredibly super, super cool. And like right on time. I think that this will be like a flagship exciting feature to talk about.
There's also a new theme browsing experience in the customizer, which I have not tried out for myself yet. There's a gallery widget that's been added, which follows the media and image widgets that were introduced in 4.8. And Sarah Gooding actually did a pretty good write-up on WP Tavern for the gallery widget. Short codes are supported now in text widgets. There's also support for adding media to text widgets. And one of the things I talked about in 4.8, which they've added in 4.9, is that there's support for adding O embeds outside post content, including text widgets. And you can also, there's support for providers other than YouTube and Vimeo in the video widget. So that's pretty good as well. There's also another really cool feature now, the code editors. Now, there's been a lot of talk over the years, ever since probably they were added to WordPress, on whether WordPress should have the ability or provide users the ability to easily edit files, whether it's theme or plugin files, the PHP code. Because what happens is, I mean, you're not working in a full IDE developer environment where you can save changes, have revisions, easily go back. If you make one wrong move or one wrong, you know, typo, next thing you know, you've got a white screen of death. You trigger a fatal error. So I've always felt that, you know, we should personally, and we've talked about this before, WordPress shouldn't have code editors. They shouldn't make it so easy for a user to screw up their site in this way, especially with the white screen, because there's, unless you know FTP, you're out of luck, you know, unless you could somehow get access to that file to redo the changes you're doing. But in WordPress 4.9, the team has not only added code mirror, which is line numbers and function references, function lookups to the code editors, but they've added sandboxing now. So if you make a change to a plugin that triggers a fatal error, you'll actually see a warning message that tells you the syntax that causes the error and says your changes were not saved. Please redo whatever it is you were doing to make sure it's correct before you click save again. Mm-hmm. So it actually prevents people from white screening or fatal erroring their site. And before you get to that part, in fact, I found out that now there's an actual warning screen. So there's a picture with a warning that says, we highly recommend you do not edit these files, but if you really need to, we suggest you create a backup and things of that nature. So I think just even having the warning there, which didn't exist before, people just go in there willy-nilly and do whatever they wanted. I think even that warning serves as a way to possibly prevent quite a few users from even tinkering with files there, because it kind of reiterates the, I don't know if danger is the right word, but the possibility of what could happen if you make one wrong move.
Well, WordPress does such a good job out of the box of kind of protecting users, protecting us from ourselves, like, except for in this one way where it loads the gun and then hands it to you.
Yeah.
So in order for you to really not ruin a website on accident, the warning message, which everyone, you know, it's helpful, but everyone's going to click, yeah, don't care. Like, next, close the message, get out of my face, close the message. So it's nice that that's there, but it's one of those things that wouldn't surprise me if eventually we push that aside. But the way that Weston worked through how to sandbox the theme and plugin edits is really the only way that that could work the way that PHP and WordPress and JavaScript are all talking to one another. So I had been thinking about this since we had talked about it last on the show, where I had a buddy that his first intro to WordPress was trying to edit a theme through the theme editor. He white screened his site and then instantly was like, WordPress sucks. It's like, no, like, that's not true. But he's right. I mean, WordPress doesn't suck, but that one part of it was really the loaded gun, right? That it really tainted his experience with WordPress right off the bat. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of other people had the same similar experience. So these two features, right? The customizer revisions and staging of customizer changes and being able to sandbox and edit plugins and themes are like two really powerful, like almost invisible changes to WordPress that are probably going to be the biggest in terms of user experience impact for probably two of the most commonly used user interfaces that are in WordPress today. People that aren't comfortable with Subversion or Git or version control are using and editing files in the code editor all the time. They do it all the time. And same with the customizer. So being able to stage changes and show them to someone is amazing. And then being able to modify theme files like quickly and easily, it's just like game changer type stuff for WordPress 4.9. I think this is going to be a cool release.
And I actually tested out the function lookup tool because that was one of my favorite things in the code editor way back when WordPress had CodePress back in the day. Yep. And it actually uses the develop.wordpress.org, I believe, website, the new developer reference site for the different functions. So really cool use of that site and the new, instead of pointing to the codex, now we got an updated reference. It uses
the one thing I think is interesting about the code editor now, and using CodeMirror as the code editor. And, you know, we've been around the WordPress community and ecosystem for a long time now. And so we're at a funny crossroads with this code editor because on one side of this coin, there is an enormous amount of work going into Gutenberg to remove the visual editor that we use for writing posts. And then there is also an insane amount of work going into integrating the visual editor that we will use for editing code. So we want to get away from TinyMCE, but we are comfortable bringing in CodeMirror. One is for editing posts and the other is for editing code. And so how long do you think it'll take before we decide or the WordPress projects decides that CodeMirror is just too restrictive and limiting for editing files, and it's time to own the whole code editing experience from the get-go. I think it's just interesting how these tools come and go and how we decide which ones we want to use and why and how they come to be. So CodeMirror is a separate GPL compliant, open source project. We used it for the React project that I was helping my friends with earlier. So it's a great piece of software, but TinyMCE is also a great piece of software. So I don't know. It's an interesting release. We're trying to go out with the old and in with the new, and I think it's funny.
So if you have a website out there, if you have a staging site, which pretty much everybody should have nowadays, especially on these managed web hosts where you can have staging and push things to production very easily nowadays, definitely test your site against WordPress 4.9 beta 1. The beta 2 will be out probably within the next week or so, within the next couple of days. There's also a lot of other changes in here as well related to code. There's multi-site improvements, REST API stuff, SWF upload. We've talked about that before. That's being removed, and there's a lot of other stuff in here as well. So just make sure that your plugins and your themes work just fine with all the new dandy features and 4.9 on a staging site. And speaking of releases, WooCommerce 3.2 was released earlier today. Listen to this, John. 3.2 has been in development since July, and it's had over 1,610 commits from 98 contributors.
That's insane.
That's a lot of commits, I would imagine, for a project.
That's a lot of contributors. The number of commits is also a huge number of changes, but what a great community and a bunch of momentum that went into this. It's kudos to everyone there.
Now, as opposed to WordPress, you would think 3.2 is a major release, but WooCommerce earlier this year went to the Usemver, so 3.2 is actually a minor update, and they say that all changes should be backwards compatible with 3.0 and 3.1 sites, and yet they still recommend that you create backups and you test and do your due diligence before you upgrade. So a couple of things in WooCommerce 3.2 is that you'll now have greater control over coupons in the admin. So you'll be able to apply coupons to existing orders, which according to them was a highly requested feature on their idea board. So that's nice. You've been looking forward to something like that. Now there's also extension support version checks before core updates. So WooCommerce supports a new plugin header named WC Tested Up To. So plugin authors can specify which versions of WooCommerce have actually been tested and confirmed working prior to updates. Now, when you go to upgrade WooCommerce, you'll actually see advisories within the plugins area that'll tell you whether or not a plugin has been tested up to, what it's compatible with, and elsewhere. So it's a pretty good use of the WC tested up to tag, which WordPress has had for a while, but I don't think – does WordPress have this? I mean, if you go to upgrade WordPress core – well, actually, I guess you never see the plugins page. So how would you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't see it. The plugins.
So this is actually just a plugin, and you're upgrading the plugin. So you're already on the plugins page. So I could see why it would show up. But with WordPress Core, you won't even see it because you're updating Core. It's a different page.
Well, the tested up to tag is nice if you if the version of your plugin hasn't been tested with the current or beta version of WordPress, then you sort of have a hint that if you go to upgrade that plugin, that it may not be coded to work for the newest version of WordPress. But yeah, the tested up to tag has been around for a little while, but I don't know that it's been exposed or really used in a whole lot of ways. What I think is the most fascinating, I'm looking through the WooCommerce 3.2 release now, I mean, aside from like the almost 100 contributors that they've had, is the diversity of the contributors and where they work or like what their backgrounds are. So like, for example, Justin Satan from Zao has been huge into like WP e-commerce in general, but is still contributing to other e-commerce platforms. I mean, if you know Justin, and if I don't know if his ears are ringing right now or not, right? But he's huge into e-commerce and WordPress in general. So if you ask him, it's, you know, it's kind of turtles all the way down, I guess. But it's it's not just automaticians. It's not just people that are working on WooCommerce. It's people from all sorts of different companies. And some of the Yoast folks are here. There's a lot of people that are contributing to this, I mean, to WooCommerce in general. So I don't know. It's cool. It's like, I don't think that 100 is a lot for a plugin, and especially in a minor release. It's pretty impressive. Like, I don't know. It's I'm jealous. The BBs could use 100 contributors a release, but.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the BBs, just take a listen to last week's episode with Brad. There may have been a mention of BB Press 2.7 or not. I don't know. You'll have to listen to find out. Of course, there's also some other features here. The product category filter on the product screen has been Ajaxified, which avoids the need to load all categories at once. So if you have a large store, this should help resolve some scaling issues if you've encountered those. They've simplified the ability to resend order details to customers, including one option to resend on the edit or order page. And there's a whole bunch of other cool stuff. In fact, Cody Landefeld He's our WooCommerce correspondent. He's going to be on the show next week. He's going to dig into WooCommerce 3.2 for us, and we'll talk about everything that's in it and all the cool stuff on next week's episode. But if you're running WooCommerce, that there's an update available, and you might benefit from upgrading today. Speaking of WooCommerce, WooConf, which is like the de facto conference surrounding WooCommerce, and it's actually being held in Seattle, Washington this year, October 19th and 20th, and live stream tickets have gone on sale. Now, this year, WooConf is focusing on developers, and it's going to feature 8 different workshops with more than 30 speakers with topics including scaling, client relations, A-B testing, and enterprise. Tickets are still available at $699 per attendee. However, if you can't attend the event in person, you can purchase a live stream ticket for $50 each. And there's also a couple of different meetups going on across the world, I think in 12 major cities, where they're going to actually be broadcasting WooConf within the meetup, and they're also going to have local speakers. So it's kind of like a mini WooConf, which is just a pretty cool idea in and of itself. All the recorded sessions will be published to the WooCommerce YouTube channel sometime at the conclusion of the event. And I don't know if Matt will be doing it this year at WooConf. I imagine someone will, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of cool tidbits in the state of the Woo at WooConf. There you have it. Gutenberg. Well, it wouldn't be a WordPress Weekly without mentioning Gutenberg. Now, John, do you know
Matthias?
Theseus? Is it Theseus? The ship of Theseus?
The ship of Theseus. I mean, Matt talks about this quite a bit. He's mentioned this in various states of the word. So it was very it made a lot of sense that Matthias.
Theseus's paradox, which is like a thought experiment. It says it raises the question of whether an object that has had all of its components replaced remains fundamentally the same object. So Matthias Ventura, who is a Gutenberg engineer, also an automatician, wrote this quite detailed post about the vision for Gutenberg and Guten blocks. And he references this paradox, the ship of Theseus, where we look at Gutenberg, we look at all the ways we interact with content, we build content, short codes and what have you, and Gutenberg kind of slowly rebuilds all these different facets and ways that we interact with content and store data. And meanwhile, it's still all WordPress. You know, it might be confusing on how I'm explaining this, but with all the various things Gutenberg encompasses and touches in WordPress, by slowly iterating on those things and switch the things over, it's like taking boards off a ship and putting them back on or putting new boards on, but yet it's still the same ship. It's still WordPress. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the listeners out there, I hope you get what I mean. But his post is basically a huge vision of what is capable or what Gutenberg will be capable of down the line in terms of how themes might work, you know, where themes can basically, when you install them, they have just a bunch of Gutenberg blocks and you just fill them in. It allows you to replicate the demo as easy as 1, 2, 3, you know, just fill in the blanks. He also talks about how Gutenberg is providing a level of granularity to where they'll be able to develop a collaborative editing framework where they can lock content being edited by a person on a per block level. So let's say you're working on the first block and somebody else is working on the second block, there's no need to lock the entire document, which I thought was pretty cool in and of itself. And he talks about the other possibilities that arise from the Guten blocks on such a granular level, how there's so many different processes that go into each block, but that allows for all these different possibilities and being able to build on top of those things. So there's this grandiose vision, which sounds wonderful. And if we get to where Matthias describes, it sounds like we'd be in a pretty awesome place with WordPress. But there's a lot of people who read his post and felt like, okay, now I get it. Now I understand it. Now I agree with that vision. And there are others who say, I'm still not quite on board with this. I still don't like the way it's going. I don't like the speed at which this is going. And then there's the where do we store the data issue, which is now just coming up in terms of the discussion. So I don't know. There you have it. I mean, I don't know how many more times you can explain Gutenberg until people get it, but just another one of these long visionary posts that, you know, again, I read it and I said, you know, if Gutenberg, if this all comes to pass and this is how it really is, it sounds good. It sounds like a future I'd want to be a part in. And I like to use those themes where I just edit blocks and I can easily get to the theme demo just like that instead of having to go through this long process of, actually, for the most part, I'll never get to the point where I actually mimic the theme demo. But I don't know, John, if you read the post, what did you take out of it? I mean, are you like all for this vision? I mean, did you like, was this feeling of clarity go over you?
Oh, I mean, it did. I didn't get the clarity. I know the vision. The vision makes sense to me. But I trust Matthias, I mean, implicitly as an engineer and as an architect or a designer, or, I mean, whatever he's, or whatever instrument he's playing these days, Matthias has always been, like Johan, like the both of them together, specifically with Gutenberg. The reason that they're both on this is because they're brilliant at implementing and dissecting these types of complex problems. So my favorite snippet from his post is actually super early on, which is the question that I think that everyone has. And I will quote his post. He says, how can such a vision happen without dismantling, rebuilding, fragmenting, or breaking the WordPress ship that for over a decade has been carrying the thoughts, joys, and livelihoods of millions of people and more than a quarter of the web? And so that's the question, right? Is the editor is the heart of WordPress. It really was the breakaway feature with the early days of WordPress was the fact that there even was a visual editor in the first place. And so it has sailed WordPress very, very far. For 10 years, Tiny MCE and that visual editor have served us very, very well. But the number of boards to replace and repair in order to get Gutenberg to the point where it is in a mature position to just replace the visual editor that comes with WordPress is a lot. It's not just blocks, and it's not just it's not just any one piece of it. It's not just a sidebar. It's not just metadata. It's not just buttons and what a design or layout. It is. There's a lot that's going into this, which is why it is literally, I love this, tying it all together, all hands on deck for building Gutenberg. If we're replacing every board in the ship, we need all hands on deck to do it. And so that is what has been happening. There are a number of old blocks that need replacing, and then there are new blocks that are being introduced with Gutenberg. Plugins are going to want to add their own blocks. It ties to shortcodes. It ties into widgets and sidebars. It connects everything. So when we're talking about just dismantling the boards of a ship, I mean, I'm not necessarily a ship builder myself, but the boards on the outside of the ship are structurally important in order to making sure that the ship not only floats, but also stays a ship. It's not just it doesn't have the same kind of skeleton that everything else might have. The boards on the outside are critically important to the success of a ship. And so I love the metaphor because it is really, really accurate in a lot of ways. So that was my favorite takeaway from his post, which if you haven't read, everyone should. It's a brilliant, brilliant post and explanation of what's going on. Good images, good videos, good screenshots. I think it did answer a lot of questions that people that are familiar with this had, but what it still doesn't do, and this is me speaking, having my 3-month React lesson having occurred and being a veteran PHP developer, developing Guten blocks is not easier. It will never be easier than writing just regular old PHP plugins. You're introducing a secondary language and transpilers for JavaScript and dependency managers. It is just never going to be as easy for developers. It will be easier for users to write posts, and that's what's the most important here. Developers will have to a whole stack of things to figure out, specifically WordPress developers that haven't dipped their toes outside of the WordPress development ecosystem in a long time. But it will be easier for users to actually write the types of posts in a modern way than it would have been with TinyMC or anything else. So if you're a developer listening, don't expect for inventing new Guten blocks to be super easy, but do expect that when you understand how to do this really well, for your users to probably totally dig it, because it'll end up being a way better experience. So check out Matthias's post. I'm sure we'll have it in the show notes, right? So it's a great post.
Poopy.life. I love that thing. They've launched a pro version, which is called WP Sandbox Diet. IO aimed at theme and plugin developers. So the team behind WP All Import and Oxygen opened poopy.life to the public much to the joy of so many of us, especially to Sarah, who got to, I mean, I love the fact that we get to use poopy in a post title on the tab, but it's a service that offers free unlimited WordPress installs for anyone who needs a temporary testing site. Public testing went well enough that a commercial tier of the service is now available at wpsandboxdiet.io, with plans ranging from $49 a month to $699 per month, depending on the number of installs required. They say that Joe Gilometti said that on any given day, they have around 3,000 to 4,000 active installs. They actually had around 7,000 on the first day, and the infrastructure didn't go down. So they can support quite a few installs per day. I've actually used poopy.life. In fact, when I want to test a plugin, or I was researching WordPress 4.9 beta 1, I went to the website, they created an install for me, installed the beta tester plugin, and it disappears after a week. I don't have to worry about it. Or I can manually close the session down. I can close the sandbox, install WordPress down whenever I want. From the dashboard, it's a really cool service, and it creates the instance pretty fast for you. It gives you a login and everything.
The thing that impressed me the most about this is the email spam. Like, how clever to use that service. Just it's whatever open hole, right? Like whatever vector, whatever exploit, you know, that anyone can find, they're gonna use it. In your post, the quote here says, "Then came the spammers using their installs to send out email spam. So we learned we had to discard email silently while allowing scripts that expect email to be available to still function correctly." What a pain in the butt. I mean, poopy.life is pain in the butt, but it's incredible just the amount of work that people will do to just take advantage of any little thing that they can find. I can't help it. Every time anyone says poopy.life, I giggle. It makes me laugh. It's
hilarious. You're so immature, John. Grow up.
I think it's just really funny. It's just a really funny name. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just really funny.
So they said that they what they're doing is they thought so many people out there could benefit from what they've built, that they were kind of just marketing it to everyone, but then they discovered that some plugin or theme developers were actually creating iframes to the demo installs on their service, which they say that you're going to put an end to at some point here in the near future. But that was a really cool kind of vindication of their service and what it provides. So they're actually going to focus more on the plugin and theme developers out there. And they also mentioned that, you know, they have a site builder called Oxygen. Mm-hmm. And it's not a page builder. They specify it's a site builder. And they said that they'll be able to use these type of installs to show users or prospecting buyers the difference and the benefits and the pros and cons of, like, Oxygen compared to Gutenberg. And they could see how it works and how things will interact on a test site versus having to do it all on their, like a live site. So pretty good work to them. And I'm not sure if poopy.life is going to disappear, because I'd like to shut up, John. All right. Anyways, congrats to them.
Now you can't say it without smiling either.
We're moving on. You've ruined it.
I know you're trying to be a serious journalist right now, but good luck trying to say to be that while saying poopy.life.
Okay, let's move on. So discuss from poopy.life to a data breach. That's a wonderful segue.
They're both real crappy. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay, yeah, I mean, here come the crap puns. There's a discuss data breach.
Crappy in their own way.
Yes, discuss the comment management and hosting service announced that it suffered a data breach that actually affects 17.5 million users. Now, this isn't a recent data breach. In fact, it's a snapshot of its database from 2012 with information that dates back to 2007. This contains email addresses, usernames, sign-up dates, and last login dates in plain text. All of those items of information were exposed. Now, passwords were hashed with the SHA-1 protocol and a SOA for about one-third of the affected users were also included in the snapshot. Discuss was made aware of the breach by an independent security researcher named Troy Hunt on October 5th, and then they notified everybody and took action on October 6th. Now, as a precaution, they've reset passwords for all the affected users, so if you have not received a password reset email from Discuss, you're probably not affected. Again, this was from they confirmed that the most recent data that was exposed was from July 2012, so if you remember signing into or creating your account around that time frame, you might have been an affected user. However, that's a long time to go without changing the password. So I imagine a lot of people, I would hope, you know, change their passwords between now and then. But Discuss has made a lot of improvements over the years. For example, they changed the password hashing algorithm from SHA-1 to bcrypt. And they've made a lot of hardening and hardware security changes to improve security there. So it's not the data breach is important and it's something you should be aware of, but it's not a, oh my God, Equifax kind of scenario.
It's still not good. I mean, there's a core ticket for bcrypt too, or there's a plugin, I think, maybe. I forget when all that stuff happened, but WordPress is thinking about or considered or moved to bcrypt. I'm trying to figure out when that happened. But 17.5 million, oh God, it's going to give me heartburn.
And that was just 2012. So I can only imagine how many users they have today.
Like, how many blog posts and stuff have we seen about, like, we need to accept that our data online is not safe? Like, we used to say that about email and email servers. And
That's kind of the assumption I have.
And that's the safe assumption, is that, like, everyone, wherever you're putting it, is someone else that shouldn't see it is going to. Like, you kind of just have to accept that. But, like, between Yahoo's 3 billion users.
Pretty much every user is what they've said.
It's just like, what? And Discuss has. How many installs does the WordPress, they still have a Discuss plugin, don't they? That's still
yes.
A plugin repo. How many installs does that have? Do we know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
This is me, like, quick live checking to see what I can find. Oh, it's not that easy. Of course it's not.
Of course it's not that easy. Of course you'd search for Discuss in the plugin directory and you wouldn't find it as the first item. Of course. By the way, speaking of plugins, I noticed, and I don't know if this is a new feature or not, but in 4.9, when I was updating the plugin, I saw the plugin banner. So I thought that was neat. Just a little 4.9.
While it was updating?
Yeah, I went to go. I went to do a plugin update, and now in addition to just text, you see the plugin banner. So I thought that was
kind of
cool.
That's cool. I didn't see that. That must be new. It's 4.8. It just had the fancy updates. Yeah, there is no Discuss. There's like 13 pages of Discuss results, so I'm not even going to bother trying to look anymore.
That's weird. Well, they had a plugin. Yeah, I wrote about it earlier this year, so it's there somewhere.
It's just like I feel really bad for, like, the people that work at Discuss that are trying really hard to, like, do a good job and keep everything safe. Like, having any data breach or leak like this, like, it is the worst possible thing that could happen to your users. And so, like, What are you supposed to do? Like, companies like Apple are investing an insane amount of money in their own data centers and their own hardware and their own everything in order to have some sense of checks and balances and quality assurance that no one is getting into any of their data storage in any other weird ways. Like, you never know what server, like, any, I don't know. It's just, there are too many, the internet is such a complex place now that you just never know who's listening on what side or what end. So it's a huge bummer.
It is actively installed on 200,000 plus sites.
Oh, man, that's a significant number of WordPress users whose data may have been exposed via a third party service that it affects, obviously, them, but it affects Discuss and it affects like WordPress in a like a roundabout kind of way. Like, yeah.
So, by the way, I, you know, speaking of data, I saw this commercial the other day. It was, it wasn't Equifax. It was somebody else, but it was a commercial that said you could do a free search of the dark web to see if your email or anything else has been compromised or if something else is out there. The dark web.
It's like the iOS. Did you see the iOS screenshot that was going around?
Oh yes, like, the phishing. It's hard to tell which one was the phishing one, and I.
Looked, that was the I first one. That was the first one in a long time where I was like, they would have got me here. I would not have been able to have told like the what ended up being different aside from like just the background of the app itself. Was the official iOS one was using like curly quotes and the regular one was just using regular quotes.
Oh, that was the difference,
that was,
huh?
That was the visual difference. But once they fixed that in the phishing attempt, then they really are just identical to one another. So like, if you talk to someone like George Stephanis, he will just tell you that passwords are an antiquated way of using anything at all anyways. And so how a real solution to this problem can't be far, but man, if it's not just a password, but it's the entire database, like if 17.5 million user records, not just the passwords, but email addresses, first names, last names, who knows what, can easily just be, well, not easily, but if they eventually just become total free for everyone to look at and see, a strong password doesn't do you very much good if everything else underneath it all is dubious or of, a questionable, it sucks.
What a site to have today. HaveIBeenPwned.com. That one's the last time right there, huh? So Donate WC, pretty cool initiative centered around sponsoring people, giving travel scholarships to people to attend large WordCamps. They've actually selected and successfully sponsored its first applicant to WordCamp Cape Town. And the person's name is Trust Nikovidzo. I really butchered that last name. Sorry about that. But they've been sponsored at WordCamp Cape Town in October 2017. Now, Trust has spoken at other tech conferences as well. He was a speaker at the first WordCamp Zimbabwe in Africa. He's also talked at the Women in Tech Conference. And Inez specified in the post on why this sponsorship is important. She says that not only is it the first sponsorship that Donate WC is granting to a WordPress contributor, there's also a good indicator of how well the community is responding to this initiative. Now, Africa has not seen many WordCamps yet, but she says this is why it's paramount that the community in Africa is supported and that talent is and that talent there is cultivated, and bringing people like Trust WordCamps like WordCamp Cape Town makes that happen. And the people responded, the community responded by funding his sponsorship through donations. Now, the thing I appreciated was she mentioned what she's learned. She's learned that this sort of process. There's a lot more to it than she anticipated, such as documents to write, websites to maintain, travels to book, and funds to raise. And she says that the last part is not as easy as it sounds. And this is something I kind of wanted to talk to you about. And that is, you know, we have this great initiative here. And if I had more money, if I had more disposable income, I'd participate in initiatives like this, or even Hero Press if they open a Patreon and whatnot. But how does, if you're in her position and you have this great initiative, this WordPress initiative, it's got to be one of the hardest parts is continually asking people, "I need your money. I need your money. Please donate. Please donate." I mean, how do you, what do you do in that situation? How do you get people to help fund the project or whatever without constantly asking people for money?
I think it's easier when you are like, it'll be okay for an organization like DonateWC because they are establishing themselves as an actual organization. And I think in people's minds, psychologically, that means something different. You implicitly have more trust that this organization is there. They are there for a very specific reason to solve a very specific problem. And you can trust that whatever your donation is, if it's money, if it's a discount, if it's accommodations, whatever it is, that your donation goes, like the organization is going to do right by you. You're going to give them what you can afford to give them, what you're generously able to, and you trust that they're going to do with that what you want them to, or what they say they're going to do. So, but the human side of it, running an organization like this, all of the things that that she needs to do to actually make DonateWC be credible have very little to do with sending someone to a WordCamp. It's a website. It's a nonprofit. It's the logistics and the administration side of it. It is a full-time job for several people, let alone just one person, to try and bootstrap this and get this off the ground. And so asking for money or telling people that you have a goal that you're trying to achieve and that you need X amount of funds to achieve that goal for a nonprofit is actually expected. People expect for nonprofits to ask for money because that is how they work. And so as an individual that maybe isn't comfortable asking for money, that's just one of those things you got to get over if you're running an organization. Chambers of commerce in literally every single United States city or village suffer the same exact type of situation where they are largely nonprofit or not-for-profit. They might be a tourism entity or something else, but they are donation-driven based on some membership, but otherwise it's events. It's all donations. It's, you know, it's gifts from the bottoms of people's hearts. And so the smartest thing that she did was make this an organization so that this isn't just her trying to ask for money to accomplish stuff. This is a thing that she can donate. WC can start holding fundraising events. They can have stretch goals and 30-day sprints where they try and get $10,000 on this specific month for this specific reason. It's all marketing. It's all the marketing that needs to go around this.
She actually created a list of goals for the next 2 months, which are finalizing the foundation, opening the bank account to allow other payment gateways for where donations can be used, reaching out to companies who might be interested in becoming an annual sponsor, and what you just said, the M word, marketing, a lot of marketing. So if you're an organization out there, if you're a company, if you're a WordPress business and you love this initiative, want to get behind it, please visit donatewc.org and get in touch with Ines and see what you can work out.
Yep, it's awesome. Best of luck. And happy to see it happen.
And last but not least, GitLab raises $20 million in a Series C round of funding and adds Matt Mulloway to the board of directors. GitLab recently celebrated its 6th anniversary as an open source project. And what better way to celebrate than to get 20 million buckaroos? but they got a Series C round of funding led by GV general partner Dave Menescillo. Podcasts where names are butchered free of charge. So there's a GitLab live event that took place, and they discussed the future and the evolution of GitLab, where it's going, and how they're going to try and unify the experience all the way down. And they've actually added Matt Mullenweg on as a investor. Mullenweg says he's been impressed by GitLab's transparency and how the company shares many of its internal documents, whether it's sales manual, employee onboarding information. And he's been a big fan about their open source initiatives, and they're a remote work only type of company. So there's a lot of similarities between Automattic and GitLab and how they're working. And so Matt's going to be giving some advice on there. He's going to be part of the board and kind of helping direct on how GitLab spends that $20 million.
I was looking to see who the other board members were, but it wasn't real obvious to me who else besides Matt was on the board.
No idea. I haven't looked into it.
So, gosh, I don't know if it was this round or maybe a year or two ago. I had talked with some folks about GitLab's original round, because I think this is their C round, right? So this is, and even when, gosh, where would this have been? It might have been in Philly or maybe before then, when we were talking about at one of the WordPress core community summits about whether or not Track was needed to be sunsetted or what we were going to move to. And it was after I had moved everything, like all of my WordPress plugins, to running my own GitLab instance, where even though GitLab isn't a familiar technology stack for most WordPress people, and even though it is another open source library, not unlike Track, that solves a similar problem. I really liked GitLab, and it was in rapid development, and the company has always been very open and transparent. They have a similar model to, quite honestly, what WordPress had or has, at least in the early days, of a .org and a .com, where there is a hosted version and a free version that you can self-host yourself. There are a lot of similarities here in terms of just the spirituality of what GitLab is trying to achieve and how, and what WordPress has achieved and how. And so this, to me, is a very natural type of relationship for someone like Matt to get himself into. GitLab's a cool project, and the team behind it is awesome, and I've really enjoyed using it myself for my own 40-some-odd WordPress plugins. So this is cool to see, and I'm excited to see where they do spend or start spending that money, because they have 200 employees. They have mature positions. They have open source evangelists. They have everything that you would expect for a rapidly growing organization to have. So I wonder how Matt's influence will change this.
Matt was actually asked if this will open up a line of collaboration between GitLab and WordPress, and Mullenweg said, "It's definitely something on our minds. Core WordPress is still Track and Subversion. So I think that it's not our top priority this year, but in the future, it's definitely on the radar."
For what it's worth, when I suggested that we switch from Track to GitLab, I was essentially laughed out of the room, as it was like the worst suggestion that anyone could make. And so I hate to say I told you so, but we'll see. We'll see what the end game is.
You don't hate it. It's been eaten inside of you. You just can't wait. But apparently, so GitLab started out as just basic version control and an issues tracker, and they've kind of made a lot of improvements to becoming a developer solution. In fact, one of their goals is becoming supporting the complete DevOps lifecycle by adding tools for application performance monitoring and server monitoring, and something that enables developers and operations managers to keep tabs on code after it is deployed, which I thought was kind of neat, and they'll be able to do that. While using a single user interface, the same tools and one permissions model. So having everything under one roof is what they're working towards. So this funding ought to help with that. And if you want to check out the entire GitLab live event, Sarah Gooding has a link to that. She embedded it in her post, which, of course, we'll link to in the... is there anything, before we wrap it up here, is there anything you want to get off your mind or your chest or your poopy.life mindset, whatever's going on here, Ed?
No, not really. Everything's pretty chill. I'm excited about WordCamp US coming around the corner. I know I've talked about it before, but I'm excited to be at WordCamp Ann Arbor this coming weekend. And then Cabo Press is next week. For next week's show, I'm going to be absent again, and I have to Apple Maps my way back the next week, but, I'll be in Cabo for Cabo Press.
And as you wave to me from paradise, supposedly talking about WordPress stuff, I'll be giving you the middle finger salute. That's how that's going to work.
I won't even be sad because I'll still be giggling about poopy.life.
That's right. And while you're in the pool. Anyways, actually, speaking of events, you're actually speaking one of your picks not too long ago was GiveWP. They're doing seminars. Yes. You're actually doing one tonight.
I am going to be on the GiveWP workshop tonight about extending GiveWP. So something that I don't really talk about because I'm not comfortable with marketing myself in that exact kind of way is the donation based side of my contributions to WordPress Core. So I use GiveWP for sponsored WP.com. I don't really go there very much, but so I extended GiveWP in a bunch of different ways to make sure that I was able to accept donations towards working on WordPress, BuddyPress, BBPress, all those kind of things. So largely, I mean, because philosophically, I don't really love the idea of selling code or plugins in that way, but I would like to, make a living and pay a mortgage and stuff. So GiveWP being the fork of EDD and knowing Pippin and knowing the folks over at WordPress was a natural choice for me. So I'm excited to hang out with Matt and trying to think of if it's just me and Matt and then the dude from Modern Tribe whose name is escaping me right this second. It starts with a C. There he is, Chris Flanny. So so we're going to hang out on the Give. I don't know how often Matt does these, once a month, every few months, Give Live. So there's like a busy bunch of stuff happening between Give Live, WordCamp Ann Arbor, Cabo Press, and then WordCamp US is just around the corner. So
speaking of you mentioned Pippin, I want to send a shout out to Pippin and Brad. They've published their final episode of the Apply Filters podcast, episode 83, and while I've yet to listen to it, they said that really it all comes down to it's time for them to make a change. So they answered quite a few listener questions. They actually provide one of the questions was, what advice would you give your younger selves? Which is always a good thing to listen to, especially when you've encountered some success. So definitely check out the final episode of the Apply Filters podcast. And we're still looking for suggestions on other development-oriented WordPress podcasts out there. So if you have any, please send them in to us. You can email me at jeffc@wptavern.com. And while you're at it, why don't you send us a review? I've been checking the iTunes review page. We haven't had a review in a while. So if it's not too much trouble, please head up to iTunes, write us a review. 1 star, 5 star, doesn't matter. Just tell me how you really feel about the show. I mean, how you really deeply feel about this show. And we'll read about it on the air. And it's always a good time.
They probably want to hear more about poopy.life so that they can hear me giggle. How do you feel about us doing more technical stuff? I mean, not to put you on the spot right now or anything, but there is a void maybe that we could fill. I'm not saying that we've got all the time in the world since our episodes usually are an hour and a half long.
I would like that void to be filled by someone else. we occasionally get some. I mean, when we got into JavaScript and when we had Weston Root around the show and we really got knee deep into the customizer. That was, that's as technical as I want to go for as long on this show.
It's funny that they say that they need a change and they're stopping their show because me needing a change involved me, just sending you email after email and harassing you to be your new co-host. So
that's not how it worked. I could tell the story of how it worked, but you wouldn't like it.
You know, it's story time, right? I mean, we actually made it in under an hour, so we've got like 45 extra minutes.
No, I don't want to tell. I don't want to tell that story because I don't know how personal I could get with it. However,
I'm happy to. My change involved trying to maybe write a little bit less code in my day to day and just shoot the breeze with friends and people in the WordPress space. So I was really excited to.
You tried to do a podcast on your own and things didn't work out. So I said, why don't you just be on my show? I mean, co-host, that's easy. You just show up and talk.
And snicker and giggle in the background.
Yes.
And I would like to do a podcast of my own again. And like a not WordPress related podcast. But it's a lot of work. Like, and some of my I'm sort of cheating a little bit, but it's like some of the people that I grew up with that are in like comedy or in entertainment, Jerry Seinfeld and Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, or Johnny Carson, David Letterman, like they're all really funny guys that put something together. David Letterman, Norm Macdonald has his own YouTube show now that David Letterman was on. And so if I had a pick of the week this week, I'm still keeping it clean, although the Norm Macdonald show isn't necessarily the cleanest show on YouTube, but David Letterman, the episode that David Letterman was on, and Jerry Seinfeld, they're both like really cool. Like they've achieved really awesome stuff with just shooting the breeze, sit at a desk, talk to people and like be entertaining. Like, I think that's kind of the best job in the world, to just sit around and talk and have that be enough.
I can sit around and I can talk. It's the entertaining part that gets me.
I think you underestimate yourself. I think you have a great voice for it. You're a great host on this show. I think you could probably do a little bit more. I know you've heard me say
Poopy. Life.
See,
but there he is. See, it works.
All you have to do is say poopy.life, and then it's suddenly like the WordPress Weekly Comedy Hour, because it's just me being a child again. But
poopy.life. Okay, I don't want to overdose you on the laughter.
Well, yeah, eventually I'm gonna have a heart attack on the show because I'm just gonna be giggling.
Oh man, I liked it better when I made you feel uncomfortable. But that was in the beginning. Oh, that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. We'll give you all a break and get you in under an hour and a half here on this show.
That's very kind of you.
Again, Cody Landefeld, he's our WooCommerce correspondent. We'll dive into WooCommerce 3.2 next week, and I'm sure there'll be something else about Gutenberg that we'll mention on next week's show. We'll also possibly talk more in depth about WordPress 4.9 and whatever else is going on throughout the WordPress community, because that's what you expect here on WordPress Weekly. You can get show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffR0, where I have not yet received the ability to tweet in 280 characters.
But I have reduced my characters down to 70. No more than 70 characters for me.
All right.
I'll go the other direction.
And where can we find you, John?
I'll be like the original Twitter 240 character hipster. I'll go like it's way too many characters for me. So on Twitter at JJJ and GitHub at JJJ and JJJ.blog.
Man, there's so many J's. All right, so that's going to do. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you tune in next week as we – well – don't have to worry about John and our shenanigans, but I'll see what I can whip up. I mean, I'll see if Cody enjoys poopy.life, see if he gets a kick out of that. Anywho, we'll talk to you again next weekend. Say bye, John.
Bye, y'all. Bye, John.